St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe is imperative for every Christian to hear, heed, and understand. What is the gospel, and how is a person born again? What is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how is the person saved? In fact, in John 3:16 that Dr. Davis shared with us just a little before the news break, I go back to John 3:36. Also, John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath," that's personal, that is present, "hath eternal life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath," thumos, "the anger of God abideth on him." So, ladies and gentlemen, if we have eternal life, it's not talking about life just today. It is talking about eternity, eternal life. And then the scripture says over in 1 John chapter, I believe it's chapter 5, it also talks about if we have the Son, we have life. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that today, multitudes of pulpits are not preaching and teaching how to have eternal life. You can go to the Joel Osteen mindset, and it's the smiley face and how you're going to have a happy life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's not what the scripture is talking about. But there's an organization that is called the Living Church of God. It was called the Worldwide Church of God back in the 50s and the 60s. And about 20, 25 years ago, some of the major Christian denomination declared that the Worldwide Church of God and the death of Herbert W. Armstrong and Garner Ted Armstrong took control. All of a sudden, it's become a Christian denomination. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not so. Let me say, repeat again, that is not so. I'm looking at their doctrinal statement. Their doctrinal statement says, number one, preach the gospel of the kingdom and the true, hear me, and the true name of Jesus Christ. What are they really saying about the true name of Jesus Christ? What are they referring to as the gospel of the kingdom? We'll talk about that in a moment. The second part of their doctrinal statement, preach the end time prophecies and the Ezekiel warning to the Israelitish people. Sounds good, doesn't it, on the surface, but is this biblical? What do they mean? Let me just jump in, Dr. Davis, and say this. This Living Church of God, this Worldwide Church of God, that was Armstrongism, as it was called back in the 50s and 60s and early 70s, it is a false, phony, fallacious, not real church, if I can be very careful in saying that, because they believe that the church today, their church, their denomination, is the only real denomination. And it's because they believe that their church, their belief system, is simply the spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel. Therefore, multitudes of other things that I'll talk about in a moment. For example, to say, feed the flock and build all the members to the statue of Jesus Christ as best you can. So, ladies and gentlemen, they're talking about meeting the requirement of works to be saved. And the Bible says very clearly that we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Then they say, the fourth point of their doctrinal statement, be examples to the church of God and to the world of Christ, in Christ's way of life. So what is this meaning, Christ's way of life? That sounds kind of generic, doesn't it? Christ's way of life. I'll talk about that in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. It says then, the fifth part of their doctrinal statement, learn and practice servant leadership in all our dealings with others. Sounds good. Is this work salvation? Absolutely, because their total belief system is built on W-O-R-K-S, works. If a person can work enough to get saved, that means that you could get to heaven and be bragging, as Dr. Davis and I said earlier, bragging about how your works got you there. Ladies and gentlemen, you can work until you wear your legs down to the knees and still die and go to hell. Works will not save a human being. Amen. Sixthly, restore apostolic. Listen, they say, part of their doctrinal statement, restore apostolic, that is, as they call it, original Christianity, and all that this implies. Now, Dr. Davis, it is amazing to me that so many people are a part of that organization. In fact, they claim to have members globally. They're headquartered out of North Carolina, and they claim to have members on a global basis. And it says, restore apostolic, and in brackets in the doctrinal statement says, original Christianity, and all that this implies. I just simply say, wow, wait just a minute. Is this biblical salvation, or does it in some way point to legalism living under the Old Testament law? Dr. Davis, this group of so-called Christians that's deceiving multiple millions around the globe, they simply believe that the Christian today ought to live by, as their words, not mine, live by the Ten Commandments, that they ought to live by all of the holy days and holidays of Judaism, that all of the holy days and holidays that are celebrated by the Jewish people, even today, that the Christian ought to celebrate those same holy days and holidays. And then lastly, on their seventh point in their doctrinal statement, build an atmosphere of radiant faith within God's church. Sounds good, doesn't it? But what they're talking about, that radiant faith, is to continue to permeate the hearts and the lives of others with what you believe, which is actually false doctrine if you adhere to it. Dr. Davis, I'm looking at part of their printed material. It says, about us. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. If you'd like to jump in the dialogue and the discussion, dial that number. We'd be delighted to talk with you, answering your questions. This article says, this is written from their website material. The Living Church of God proclaims to the world the good news of Jesus Christ's coming kingdom. We strive to practice original Christianity as taught and practiced by Jesus Christ and the original apostles. In other words, if it's taught by Jesus while he was here on earth and the original, that means the first 12 apostles, that means that only what they taught and said. And by the way, this organization that's called the church, the Living Church of God, they will take scripture, twist it. They will take scripture out of context. They will take scripture and add to the scripture and modify the scripture to make it say what in context it does not say. This includes, they say here, the practice by, as practiced Christianity, as practiced by Jesus Christ and the original apostles, including observance of the seventh-day Sabbath and annual holy days in the Bible. Church members view themselves as the spiritual heirs of the original Jerusalem church in the first century. They are spiritual Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God deals with Israel and God deals with the church. There are two dispensations in the scripture. And it's multiple. There's about seven or eight or nine, but majorly two. That's the two covenant, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant. They're the elect of Old Testament, the Jewish Christian, Jewish people. The elect of the New Testament are the Christians, the church. The church is not Jewish Israel. The church is not spiritual Israel. I had a person a number of years ago that was trying to tell me, Dr. Davis, that the church was spiritual Israel. I said, well, I need to go over to the Holy Land and claim my land then.
That's right. That's right.
Dr. Davis, how do you confront, how do we as conservative Christians, how are we to respond to organizations like this and the mega millions that are caught up in it today? How should we respond to it? Should we just simply say, well, everybody's doing the best they can, just leave it alone? Or do you think that we need to confront it benevolently, quietly, peacefully, and personally, and say to them, this is wrong? How do you do it? How do you respond? What do you say to our listeners that may be caught up in some twisted jargon and called spirituality and Christianity, and in a church where that is, scripture is being twisted? Speak to that person or those people today as to what they need to do.
Well, we simply have to abide by the Word of God, Dr. Youngblood, and make sure that we are teaching the truth of the Word. Because Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So in order for us to be set free from strife and contention, because that's exactly what this thing is doing, is stirring up strife and contention between the denominations. Now, let's be clear that denominations don't come from God.
Right.
When you get to heaven, it won't be a Baptist church. It won't be a Methodist. It won't be a Holiness. It won't be a Catholic. It's going to be one fold and one shepherd. So in order for us to come together now, we need to confront these issues head on, because this is the reason why the body of Christ can't be united. We need to come together as one. Every other group of people groups that I've examined all throughout the world, even cults, can come together and agree. But when it comes down to Christians, we fight about the least little petty, and we make technical issues out of stuff that we have no knowledge about. So this is where we are at right now today on this subject that you're speaking about now.
Absolutely.
About Christianity, about spiritual Israel. We have to understand, we are not Jewish.
That's right.
According to the scripture, everybody that's Jewish are connected to Israel, natural born Israel.
Right.
But when it comes down to us, if we are not born Israelites, then we are considered the Gentiles.
Absolutely.
So how can that make us spiritual Israel?
Absolutely. You said,
to make sure we get that point over, and this, I think, will stop a lot of the argument.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, they teach, going back to some rudimentary fundamental things. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. They teach that the gospel is not just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but also it includes good works. Ladies and gentlemen, works has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, Dr. Davis read it just a few moments ago. We need to understand, I'm going to reemphasize that, because the scripture says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, for by grace are you saved through dia, the avenue, the access is faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. The word workmanship in verse 10 of Ephesians 2 is the word polema. We're his polema, we're his poem, we're his created thing of beauty, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, ladies and gentlemen, the works part is, after we're saved, we serve him in works, but not for salvation, but because of salvation. That's the thing that's turned upside down and cemented denominational structures today. They believe that that salvation includes abiding by all of the Ten Commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. You need not say amen or oh me. Out of all the Ten Commandments, have you ever broken one? I'll pause for a moment. Have you ever broken one? If you've broken one, Jesus says you've broken them all. And if you've broken the Ten Commandments according to this denominational belief, you're lost. But ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility to live under the law. We're living by grace. We're saved, not by the law. Jesus Christ came into the world, died on the cross, shed his rich red royal blood for your sins and for mine. His blood becomes the atonement, covering for our sins. When Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross and shed his rich red royal blood, it was for your sins and for mine. We need to receive that as the gift that God's given, saying yes to that finished work, and it is not works that we do, but the work that he's done on Calvary's cross. Living by law rather than by grace is what the living church of God is doing today. Living by the letter of the law. They say that the false teachings, church, that is, those that disbelieve what they believe, that we, ladies and gentlemen, that believe in the rapture of the church, believe in the tribulation days, believe that we will not go through the tribulation, they, the living church of God, as it is called, believes that somehow, some way that we're wrong. I'm looking at the headlines in about a 10-page article segment of their online statements. The New Testament church kept the holy days of the Bible. This article reads this way. Many are surprised when they discover that the New Testament commands Christians. Listen, the New Testament, they say, commands Christians to keep God's seven annual holy days. God uses these special days every year to teach us about his great plan of salvation and his love for mankind. What are these biblical festivals commanded by God, this writer says in this article? The Passover, the Days of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks called Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Eighth Day Feast called the Last Day, Great Day of the New Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, these are all feasts and holy days and holidays that are kept by the Jewish people. That's the law. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." The word destroy means to abrogate, to abridge, to change, to modify. Jesus says, "I did not come into the world to change, to abridge, to modify, or annul the law, but," he says, "I am fulfilling it." So if we've said yes to Jesus Christ, Dr. Davis, as Savior and as Lord, and if he has fulfilled all of the law, should we continue to try to maintain the law to be saved? What are your thoughts?
Well, the next thing we have to do after accepting Christ Jesus, well, first, you have to accept his finished work out on Calvary's cross in the first beginning. So, I mean, if that's what you have accepted, then God sees you as righteous. He calls you. He is the only one that has the power to call the things that be not as though they were. Mm-hmm. So, when we accept Christ Jesus by faith, that means we're accepting his finished work out on Calvary's cross, which satisfied the wrath of God against our lives as wretched sinners.
That's right.
A wretch undone. So now, all we have to do is be careful, like the scriptures say, to maintain good works because of what Christ has done. Now, we're not saved because we do good works. We do good works because
Amen. Of That's right.
So
that's
right. Just the opposite shoes on the other foot.
Right.
So this is why, you know, people get so confused on today. Mm-hmm. It's not about the works that you do that cause you to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
After you're saved, you love God so until you don't want to do anything to offend him. So then what you do, you continue to do good works because this is what his word commands for believers to do.
Absolutely.
We want to do it exactly the way that God says do it. So we maintain, be careful to maintain good works. And the Apostle Paul came back and said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that people don't understand, I believe, Dr. Davis, why are we to do good works after salvation? It's not to earn salvation, but it's because we love the Lord and what he's done for us that we want to love him by serving him and honoring his word.
Amen.
And as we work, do the good work after salvation, we are building up rewards in heaven.
Amen.
We have the crowns that are available, the rewards that are available. And I say to each and everyone that's listening today, Dr. Davis, we need to be very, very careful that we do not get caught up in a, quote, church organization because the parking lot's full. I started off with that, and I continue to give that as an illustration. The parking lot may be filled because of the smoke machine and the ripped blue jeans and the tattoos and the earrings and the loud music and the strobe lights and the rock and roll concert that's going on inside that building, not because the gospel is being proclaimed.
Amen.
And then, Dr. Davis, they teach that the believer will go through the 7 years of tribulation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. One of the things that we need to be very, very clear about, ladies and gentlemen, and that is the church, the Christian, will not, hear me, will not go through the tribulation. What is the tribulation? It is the thalipsis. It is the absolute anger of God. It is the wrath, W-R-A-T-H, of God. God's wrath, his anger, has been mitigated on the cross when we say yes to his Son on the cross. Amen. When we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior, God's wrath has been mitigated through Jesus Christ. God is not angry with the Christian. And God's anger, which is his wrath, is poured out on a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying, sin-soaked society after the church is raptured out. Amen. The 7 years of tribulation are rejected by the living church of God. They do not, they say that the Christian will go through the tribulation, and the church, the Christian, will then be ultimately resurrected at the same time that Jesus Christ returns. What they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, is ignoring, rejecting, and twisting scriptures about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 is the classic text in all of the Bible explaining the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church could happen at any moment. The rapture of the church, that is the sudden seizure, the snatching away of the bride of Christ, could happen. There are no signs that must be fulfilled before the rapture of the church, Dr. Davis. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, the rapture of the church is before the 7 years of tribulation. The tribulation, the wrath of God, is for the lost world, not for the saved people. This false group also reject the worship on the Lord's Day. They go into the same category of the Seventh-day Adventist, then the same category of multitudes of those that are called the Sabbatarians that believe that the only true worship day is on a Saturday. It is not to be on a Sunday. I'm looking at a headline here of part of their writings. The Apostle Paul warned Christians about a different gospel. He did.
Amen.
In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, he warned about another gospel. And this writer says about their cult belief, the gospel of Jesus Christ is far more than just the gospel of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? They say the gospel of Jesus Christ is far more than the gospel about Jesus that you heard from most churches of his death, burial, and resurrection. They're adding to the scripture. They're adding to what the gospel is. This writer goes on to say, at the same blast of the trumpet, the saints will be resurrected. That is the blast of the trumpet. They call the seventh trumpet when Jesus Christ returns. Resurrected and changed into spirit beings, becoming full members of God's family. We're not full members of God's family, they're saying, until we're resurrected at the great day of resurrection. The Christian Science believes that. The Seventh-day Adventists believe that, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't make it true because somebody twists the scriptures and takes a scripture here and a scripture there and a scripture there and brings it together and try to make it sound like it is doctrinally sound and biblically true. I'm looking at a major article, Dr. Davis. It says, if Jesus were on earth today, what would he teach? Then he goes on to say, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, the end time prophecies, what Jesus taught about law and grace. And here's one of the major sections. Jesus and the apostles observe the Sabbath day. They're going to say his apostles were both Jewish and non-Jewish believers, originally kept the Sabbath day on a Saturday. Also learn when, where, and why mainstream Christianity, listen to the accusation, mainstream Christianity abandoned the Sabbath day worship. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've said just in a laughing manner, why not worship the Lord Jesus Christ 7 days a week? Have you ever wondered why? Ladies and gentlemen, we go to church on Sunday. Why we worship on Sunday? It's called the Lord's Day. Dr. Davis, why is it called the Lord's Day?
Well, if we will look at Scripture again, let's make sure we keep everything rooted and grounded right there.
Yes.
Because even when you look at the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And we don't have time even to go down through every translation and so forth and so on. But all the Bible scholars connect the Lord's Day with the day of his resurrection. Mm-hmm. So this is the one that Christians are celebrating, because we celebrate the day that our Lord
resurrected,
got up from the grave.
Amen.
With all power in his hand.
Amen.
That is biblical. So we can connect with that. We can never go wrong.
That's right. Amen. This false group, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, perhaps you have a question. Perhaps you disagree. Perhaps you're faced with some of the same twisted, perverted, theological, non-biblical doctrinal teaching today. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. That's your telephone number that gets you through, that we might answer your questions. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this living church of God that's deep-pocketed, well-financed, high-profile Madison Avenue publications they put out, it can overwhelm the average believer into thinking, well, what they are saying is biblical, because everything that they write about, they have a verse of scripture to sustain it, supposedly, but most of those, if not all, are taken fully out of context. They refer to a number of scriptures in the Old Testament, for example, talking about the holy days and the holidays that should be kept forever. And so, therefore, they said it should be kept today. But it's speaking to, the audience that it's speaking to, are the Jewish people, not to the Christian, not to the church. But the final thing, ladies and gentlemen, they believe in what I call modified Calvinism. Modified Calvinism. They say this, and I'm looking at one of the headlines, God is not calling everyone now. The truth of the Bibles are a mystery to most people, even most of those who are sincere in the effort to follow the Scripture. The reason for this is that God is not calling everyone at this time. Dr. Davis, do you think God's calling everyone at this time?
My God, I don't know how they come up with some of these vain philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it comes out to be. Because if Christ wouldn't have died on the cross, then the call to all the nations, he said, go ye therefore in the Great Commission and teach what? All nations, not just some people.
Mm-hmm.
He said, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, etc., etc. We know what he said there. So therefore, the call had to be extended to everyone. If he didn't do that, he couldn't be God.
Yeah, the scripture, for God so loved the world, the cosmos, the entire universe. God is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that God's still calling, and God's still calling unto salvation. But, ladies and gentlemen, the problem that I find today is so many indescript names for churches that you do not know what they preach or teach, and many of them have no doctrinal statement. And even those with doctrinal statements, it is not clear as to what they really believe and what they think the Scripture is really saying. So I commend to you, study the Word, know the Word, believe the Word, meditate on the Word, and then the Scripture will come absolute, jump off the pages into your heart and direct your footsteps. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM.